The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Please be seated.
At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas the twin, Nathanael from Galilee, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were all together. Simon Peter said to them,
"I'm going back to fishing."
"We'll go with you."
"Yeah."
So they went out and got into the boat and fished all night long. But they caught nothing. As the sun was rising, Jesus was standing on the shore.
"Friends, have you caught anything yet?"
"None."
"Nothing."
"Not a thing."
"Then throw your nets on the right side and you will find something."
So they threw their nets out, but could not pull them in because there were so many fish. Then, realizing, the disciple whom Jesus loved said,
"It is the Lord."
When Simon Peter heard that, he tucked in his shirt and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. When they stepped on the shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish and bread cooking.
"Bring some of the fish you've just caught."
Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore full of many large fish, 153, and the net was not even torn.
"Come, have breakfast."
None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus invited Peter to walk with him.
"Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these?"
"Yes, Lord, you know that I love you."
"Feed my lamb." "Peter, do you love me?"
"Yes, Lord, you know that I love you."
"Then tend to my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?"
"Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you."
"Tend my sheep. You know, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and go wherever you wanted to go. But when you get older, you will put out your hands. Other people will dress you and take you where you do not want to go."
He said this, signifying by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And when he had said this, Jesus said to Peter,
"Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. They didn't do it for applause, but let's thank the members of the task force. So I hope our small way of reenacting this gospel helps God's word to come alive for you, because that's what this gospel is about. And that's what the Easter season is about. It's about greater life. Is Easter, is the resurrection a magic trick, a sleight of hand, God saying poof and this happens? Or the greatest testimony, witness of the resurrection is the transformation of people who believe in Jesus. The transformation, life, more life. You see in the gospel, after Jesus' death, and some disciples saw Jesus, others have not. They go back to what they know before, fishing. And if you read the gospel carefully, they never catch any fish without Jesus. They must not be the best of fishermen and fisherwomen. But isn't that the same in our life too? We have followed God, we've been Catholics for a long time, and Christians, and maybe this Easter, same old, not much more life. And Easter, well, 50 days, it's just a nice time. Like the disciples. But something happens along the way that they were people so afraid of being, suffering the same fate of Jesus, their Lord and teacher, that they cowered and they hid themselves, and they were transformed by men and women who were locked in by fear, shackled by fear, into the people willing to go into the whole Mediterranean world, willing to witness, to be martyred, to be thrown into the Colosseum with the lions, to be crucified. And that's what happened to Peter. And in the first reading, what did they say? We can't stop doing this. We have to obey God and not human law. And we are on the right path because we are willing to suffer for the Lord. Something there happens along the way. Life. Greater life. And if you and I are going to experience this Easter, something needs to happen to us. What is that? What is that? C.S. Lewis says this: God doesn't want something from us. God wants us. God doesn't want something from us. God wants us. For a lot of us, faith is going to Mass, keeping the sacraments, going to the rules, doing nice things for other people. For some of us, faith is a philosophy. It's, oh, do we agree on the church teaching on families? Do we agree on contraception? All that stuff. But Pope Benedict says very clearly that being Christian is not a result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea or philosophy. It is an encounter with an event, with a person. An encounter that gives a new horizon, that gives life a new horizon and a decisive decision. So our faith is not just some rule, it's not just things that we do. Those are important, or it's not what we profess in our belief. Those are good. But the heart of our faith is this relationship with the one who gives our life a new horizon and a decisive decision. God doesn't want something from us. God wants us. What does God want? Simply, God wants a relationship with you and I. Sure, the church says we have to keep these things. Sure, we have to be good. Sure, all those wonderful things. But what does God want? God simply wants a relationship with you and I. It doesn't matter how small we are. We could be 7 years old or 3 or 93. Confirmation. Or waiting for or not. God wants the same thing. And what does this relationship mean? A relationship that is real. A relationship that is loving. and a relationship that is life-giving. Relationship that is real. So Jesus met the disciples, and what do they need? They need real food. He offers them real food. And then, even more important, Jesus gets real with Peter. He calls Peter to take a walk. And when is the last time the two saw each other? It's when Peter denied Jesus. How many times? 3 times. So how many times did Jesus ask Peter, "Do you love me?" 3 times. Is Jesus saying, "Nah, nah, 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 I know what you did"? Is that what Jesus is doing? Is Jesus saying, "Hey, dude, prove yourself. You denied me 3 times, so now you man up, or woman up, and prove yourself"? Is that what he's doing? What is he doing? You can tell by the third question. So much that Peter, you know everything. Yes, you know I denied you. But you know that beneath my false promises, beneath everything, you know that I love you. And Jesus does this to us. God does this to us. God gets real. In my life, God gets real in many ways. God gets real when the first person in my life died who's close to me, my grandmother. When she died, tough life, tough death, I got so angry. I was very real with God. I even cussed at God. And then I listened. I vented. And then my relationship with God grew because I was so real. God also got real with me every time I'm a hypocrite. Do you know what a hypocrite is? Someone who tells people what to do, but you don't really do it. We all do this. Unknowingly, parents do this a lot. We want the best for our children, and we tell them the best, but we don't always do the best. God gets real with me when I'm lonely. My parents don't understand me. My spouse doesn't understand me. My supervisor doesn't understand me. Even my good friends don't understand me, because maybe I've done something, or maybe there's something about me that they really found out, they might run away. God gets real when I feel lonely. And that happens. And Jesus knows what lonely is. Jesus can handle that. Jesus wants to be in those places. He wants that kind of real, real relationship. All the young people here, how do we get real? If you want a real relationship, what do you do? What do you say as young people? Be real. So you want a real relationship? Be real. Let God be real to us. That's what God wants. Sure, we can say the prayers. Sure, we can say those things. But Jesus says very clearly, what I want is your heart. Loving. It's not just about a matter of feelings. It's about seeing the good, the bad, the ugly, and still hanging around. I'm very honest when I say this. I don't know why God is still around, because I've broken so many promises. And I've been so impatient with myself and other people. And I've given up on God so many, many times. I don't know why God is still around. I don't know why God still calls me to be a priest. Because a lot of times, I don't want to be there. I don't want to man up. I don't know why God is so merciful to me. But God does. Because God won't give up like that. Life-giving. Gandhi have said this very clearly. We are most life-giving when we consistently bring out life in others. We are most life-giving when we give ourselves to others, when we serve, when we stand with people who don't have a voice, when we dare to stand up to people who gossip about someone who's not there and say, hey, is that right? Should we give her a chance? Should we give him a chance? They're not even here. What is most self-giving is when we serve, when it's not about us, when it's not convenient for us, but we give an ear, that we visit the sick, and that we reach out to a person who's awkward or annoying or in our family, like an outcast or like a black sheep. I go probably once a month to Tijuana. Sometimes I come back just in time for this mass, and I still smell, but you can't smell me because we build house for the whole weekend. And slowly I'm becoming friends with the people in the El Florido community in Tijuana. And my Spanish is really poor. I need to work on it. But the people of that community teach me so much that we, who have a lot of things in the U.S., in Southern California, forget. Do you know what we forget? We forget that people are more important than things. We forget that kindness is more important is how fast we can get, how far we can get along in our career. We forget that people's genuine need is more important than all the agendas or the things that we think we should be doing. People in this community teach me what God simply wants with me is a relationship that is real, that is loving, that is life-giving. That's what God wants. And this is where the call to Easter is, allow this God to come ever closer to you and I. And it doesn't matter how old we are. It really doesn't. Because our God is crazy like that. Crazy for you, crazy for me. Crazy that we can't even understand why God keeps wanting to come closer to our lives when we don't even want to come close to our lives. When we're not even our best selves. And we don't want to be our best selves. But this is what God wants the most. God doesn't want something from us. God wants us. God wants a relationship that is real, that is loving, that is life-giving. So concretely, how might we respond to this crazy God? First of all, sometime this week, ask God for the gift. Lord, may I respond? I want to grow in relationship with you. Let God draw your heart deeper, more mercifully. Second, like the beloved disciple, help one another. When there are life-giving things in our life, point it out. This is the Lord. That's the Lord. This is life-giving. This is the Lord wanting to come close. And the third one, Jesus said 3 times, feed my sheep, tend to my sheep, feed my lamb. Spend time with somebody in need. Relieve their burden, light their way. That kind of love. Like Peter and John says, we don't have silver nor gold, but in the name of God's love, stand up and live. Pope Francis asks us to continue to witness to the resurrection. To continue to witness to a God who wants to come closer into your life and our life. And God simply wants a closer relationship that is real, that is loving, that is life-giving. When this happens, our life becomes transformative. When this happens, Easter is not just a nice season. It's a life-giving one. And we, like the disciples, our life won't be same old, same old. It will be life-giving. It'll be awakening, and we will be that force that the world needs. The world needs people to come alive for God. The world needs people who are alive, who are real, and who is willing to serve others.